Okay, so this is the... No, Friday. Okay, we're last Friday because it's hot, so we bumped Friday back to Thursday. But generally, we're here. Okay, so this is the conclusion of Perek Shemini. Remember, Perek Shemini began with the three-part statement of remind myself, Yeshua ben Prachi. Number one, Aseh lecha Rav. Number two, Kedeh lecha Chaver. And number three, Have Danus Kaladam lekaf Zchus. So we'll talk about that third aspect today, and in particular, what it has to do with Kedeh lecha Chaver. Why they juxtapose. Very often in Perkei Avos, we're not clear about the relationships between adjacent statements. So the mitzvah of kaf Zchus comes from a pasuk, Betzedek Tishbot Amisech. According to one version, a simple reading of the pasuk, Betzedek Tishbot Amisech, is about a judge. When you're judging as a formal tribunal, you should judge appropriately, honestly, rather than corruptly, rather than biased, rather than being bribed. But Chazal Darshan, Betzedek Tishbot Amisech, doesn't just refer to formal judges, but everyone. Because as we know in life, we judge each other. That's how we become people. That's how we reach identity. That's how we form our values. We see people around us, and we judge whether we agree with their behavior, disagree, whether we want to emulate. Of course, it's very difficult to discriminate between being a judge and being judgmental. That's something we've talked about before. It's important to judge people, but not to be judgmental. And Kav Zichos has a little bit to do with that. Okay. Now, Avos Rav Nosson quotes two stories of Kav Zichos. There's some other stories, interestingly enough, in Shabbos Kuf Chazayin. We're going to look at Shabbos Kuf Chazayin. There are a couple stories there as examples of Kav Zichos. But Avos Rav Nosson quotes two stories. And the commonality between the two stories is about people who went to redeem captives. In the days of Chazal, there were a lot of people taken as captives. Some of it was based on the Roman persecution of the Jews. Some of it was just commercial. People made a living off of taking slaves and taking hostages. They didn't mistreat them. They didn't torture them. They just kept them until the communities could afford to buy them out. So two people who tried to redeem captives, and that put them into situations which would otherwise be seen as compromising. In one case, they wanted to redeem a woman. In another case, they wanted to go to the prison, and there was another woman there. The details aren't important. And in each case, the people who read about the stories gave them the benefit of the doubt, assumed the best, and indeed it was true. There was nothing salacious or seedy committed. And in each story, the potential victim of wrongful accusations told the people that gave them benefit of the doubt the following statements. Amar Lei, Kishem Shadan Tani, Lekaf Zichus, Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yadin Oscha Lekaf Zichus. Namely, the way we treat other people is the way Kadosh Baruch Hu treats us. That's true in general. And it's also true about Kaf Zichus. What does that mean? If I give you the benefit of the doubt, Hashem will give me the benefit of the doubt? Hashem knows what's in my heart. The whole issue of benefit of the doubt, I don't know your motives, I don't know your incentives. I have to assume your incentives are pure. What does it mean that Hashem treats me with the benefit of the doubt? He knows my motives, he knows my incentives. If I go into a non-kosher restaurant, so if you go into the non-kosher restaurant, I may think you're going to eat non-kosher food, but if I give you the benefit of the doubt, you're using a bathroom or a water. But if I walk into a non-kosher restaurant, Hashem knows why I'm walking in. If I walk into a prison to redeem a woman who's held captive, Hashem knows what my interests are. What does it mean that Hashem should treat me the same way I treat human beings? It seems a bit discrepant. The answer is as follows. Giving people the benefit of the doubt is not just episodic. I see you taking a certain course of action, and I'll therefore attribute it to powerful or positive intentions. It's basically seeing the good in people. And it's basically not just with particular activities that you take that could arouse suspicion, but whenever you do something, sometimes I may feel that those are character traits that are flawed or deficient. I'm able to see the whole person. I'm able to see the positive in you. I'm able to round out the picture, or I harp upon the negative. I focus on the negative. I magnify the negative. I'm able to see the entire person and see the favorable parts of your personality and judge you in the overall equation and even see certain negative traits about you as potential manifestations of a positive trait that just hasn't been properly tempered or moderated. Namely, at the root of giving people the benefit of the doubt is something more basic. Not just, it's 12 o'clock and I see you walking into a restaurant, do I give you the benefit of the doubt? It's 1 o'clock and I see you walking into a prison, am I going to give you the benefit of the doubt? It's when I look at you, overall, organically, holistically, do I harp upon your negative traits? I see the whole person, and I'm able to balance out your negative traits with your positive traits. I'm able to see negative traits as a reflection of positive traits. That's what we ask from Hashem. we want Hashem, not in a particular episode at 12 o'clock to know why we're going to the restaurant. We want Hashem to look at the overall self. What do we think about when we daven in Yom Kippur? Hashem, I may have failed, I may have sinned, I may have regressed, but look at the overall body of work. Look at my intentions. Overall, I'm an Oved Hashem. Overall, I want to be the right type of person. Overall, look at the overall picture and understand that even some of my failings may be counter-pressures to some of my successes, and take it that way. So, Kaf Sechus has to be broadened beyond just how do I determine or judge a particular action, how do I judge people? Part of that, how do I judge actions? And am I able to judge people favorably by looking at the entire person rather than pinpointing and latching onto negative traits, which is what we do when we become judgmental? That's number one. Number two, why does Avos Rav Nosson choose these two stories about redeeming people from jail? There are plenty of stories of the Gemara and Shabbos that are cited as illustration, but for some reason, Avos Rav Nosson cites these two examples. The answer is as follows. The Gemara says that Kaf Sechus is one of the traits that's Mevi Shalom Li'olam. Ein Lehem Shir, the Gemara says, Ein Lehem, that you peris ochlem perisem b'lam azeh, that keren kemesa le'olam abah. It's something that the capital you eat in this world and the dividends you get in the next world. The Gemara says, wait a second. We have a different list, the Mishnah Peah. Eilu Dvam Shein Lam Shior. What did you read a few minutes ago? HaPeyava, Bikrim, Vayon, Yimus, Hasan, Tamata. Kaf Sechus doesn't appear in that list. So it's a stira. There's one brisa that lists Kaf Sechus as something which is Ochlin Perasem, Balam, Mazeva, Kren, Kren, Zolam, Abah. And one Mishnah doesn't have it. So the Gemara says, no, no, no. Kaf Sechus, giving people the benefit of the doubt, is part of Havah Shalom. So when one Mishnah says Hava Shalom, the Mishnah in Peah, it means Kaf Sechus. How is Kaf Sechus Hava Shalom? So Rashi there says, because if I don't suspect you of negative, I won't be hostile towards you and we'll be better friends. At the micro level, which is what possibly the Mishnah in Avos Rav Nosson means, part of friendship is trusting people and not creating judgmentalism and assuming the worst, which would probably lead to hostility, anger, jealousy, contentiousness. But Rav Lichtenstein used to speak about this Gemara a little bit differently. It's not just a question of micro. I see Melech, do I fear the worst? Do I become your enemy? Do I become someone hostile to you? It's also at a macro level. If you have a society that's built on trust, trust is a currency. Trust is like money. In a family, in a community, in a society, people trust each other. You're able to accomplish things. You're able to, I'll just give an example. It's going to sound like a crazy example, but think of a mafia. What makes a mafia such a solid organizational structure? It's family-oriented. And there's a level of trust within a family that's hard to achieve through contractual agreements. So if I form an organization with different people, we sign contracts, we know what our responsibilities are. But when we have a family, there's a level of trust in the family that supersedes contractual obligations and commitments. If you have a society that's built on trust, that society can go very far. Unfortunately, part of the decay in our modern society is that we just don't trust, because everything we've seen has proven to be otherwise. Political leaders prove to be scandalous, and athletes prove to be drug addicts. And so basically, we've created a society of distrust, and that's how society's become very, very dysfunctional, because we don't know who we can trust, and certainly from a religious standpoint, it creates a lot of havoc, because so much of religion is based on trust. But Rav Aaron talked about this at the macro level, that if you trust people, and you give them the benefit of the doubt, society will just function better because you'll create a currency and an environment of trust, and that will create a bedrock to social functioning. So this Mishnah talks about Kaf Sechus, and Kaf Sechus is on the one hand being able to broaden your views of people and see the world through positive lenses and see people through positive lenses, and that's why you want Hashem to treat you that way. Generally with your midos, the way you treat other people is the way Hashem treats you. So if you're slow-tempered and forbearing and generous, then Hashem will be slow-tempered, forbearing, and generous to you. And it's also true, at a social level, based on that Gemara, it creates shalom, because not just at a local level, I won't be angry with you, but communally, you create a society of trust, not a society of distrust. Rav Aaron talked about this primarily in Parshas Vayechi. It seems like the communication between Yosef and his brothers broke down, and Yosef has two actions that he takes, which are meant to be sincere. Number one, when he goes back to Bar Yaakov, he goes to visit the bor, because he wants to have closure in a place that he had such trauma. Went to another day in the Midrash, he no longer invited his brothers to eat with him, because he didn't want to disrespect them by forcing them to eat in a disrespectful, he was the king, he wanted to feel in any way inferior. But they took it the wrong way. They assumed that, oh, he's not inviting us to eat anymore because he's angry with us. Oh, he went back to the board because he's planning his revenge. He wants to rile himself up. So because there was no communication between the brothers for so long, so the trust broke down, and then, of course, the family disintegrated. Okay? Great day, everyone. Tomorrow is Rashi up top. Okay?